I'd ask you to please turn with me this morning to the book of the prophet, to the second book of Kings, the second book of Kings and chapter 2. 2 Kings and chapter 2, and that is page 422. 2 Kings, chapter 2, page 422. Now we read from verse 8. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water, and it was divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. So it was, when they had crossed over, that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you?" Elisha said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." And so he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you, but if not, it shall not be so." Then it happened, as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elijah saw it, and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen." And so he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him, and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him, and struck the water, and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he also had struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. Now when the sons of the prophets who were from Jericho saw him, they said, "The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha." And they came to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. And the subject before us this morning is the spirit of Elijah. Now, last Lord's Day, we considered the subject of the Lord God of Elijah. And by tracing the life of Elijah, we saw some of the wonderful characteristics of the Lord God of Elijah. We saw he was indeed the everlasting God of power. He is the God who lives and reigns. He is the God who reveals his will and his word. He is the God whose ways are past finding out. He is the God who commands. He is the God who overrules tragedy. He is the God that absents himself in judgment. He is the all or nothing God, the God who always keeps his word. He is the all-knowing God, and he is the God who understands. And we saw these particular characteristics of the God of Elijah, and the purpose being to magnify the Lord God of Elijah in our minds, that we might worship him from our hearts. We might praise him. We might obey him. And we might submit by faith to the Lord God of Elijah. Now, this morning, in our final message on the life of Elijah, we will spend time in considering the spirit of Elijah. Now, if we worship the Lord God of Elijah as Elijah did, it will undoubtedly have an effect upon us spiritually on our own lives. It will affect our whole being. It was this spirit of Elijah working within his life that Elisha sought a double portion of. Now, the spirit of Elijah was not a commendation here of his natural temperament. We are told in scripture that Elijah actually was a man with a nature just like ours. He had a fallen nature just like ours. We read he was a man subject to like passions as we are. He struggled with the old man within. He struggled with the old nature. Elijah didn't get everything right. Nevertheless, the Spirit of God, which worked through Elijah, it enabled him in his ministry. It enabled him in his miracles. It was actually the effective unction of the Holy Spirit upon Elijah that made him the man he was in ministry. Now, Elisha was undoubtedly very deeply burdened about the future. And just before his departure, Elijah, the experienced man of God, discerned Elisha's deep burden about the future. And in a spirit of love and compassion, Elijah asks what he could do for Elisha before he is taken away. And there is a deep significance in what Elisha requests. Oh, he said, that a double portion of your spirit be upon me. This is remarkable. Elijah's witness over years of working closely alongside Elisha through danger, through trials, through times of sorrow, through times of joy, through times of failure, through times of success. Elijah's witness was a blessed witness. It spoke to Elisha. And it reminds us this morning, friends, that the spirit in which we live is of vital importance to our witness in this world. Would someone ask for a double portion of our spirit? Sadly, speaking personally, I'm sure people wouldn't ask all the time for a double portion of my spirit. But when we are working under the unction of the Holy Spirit of God, when we are ministering according to the new nature, then there is a blessing, a fruit, and that is what people require more of. And Elisha required a double portion of that Spirit of God working in Elijah. It's not difficult, you know, to have a wrong spirit. That's as easy as anything. If we just let ourselves be ruled by the old nature, it's not easy to have a wrong spirit. But to have the Holy Spirit, that's impossible in and of ourselves. This is a gift of God. It's such a hard thing. And Elisha had asked Elijah for a very hard thing. And inspired by the Holy Spirit, he said, if you see me going up into heaven, the Lord will grant that to you. But only the Lord can give it. Only the Lord can give it. Elisha was already converted. So he already did have the Spirit of God within him. But he needed such a filling of that Spirit to equip him for the task ahead. And he saw that Spirit of God working in Elijah. And he longed to know that same way of ministry as Elijah. He needed to know the power of the Holy Spirit working within him. He needed an unction on his ministry. And Elisha, facing the future, realized this. And he sought it above all else, like Solomon sought wisdom. And dear friends, as we seek to serve the Lord in our day and generation, I do trust that this is our greatest desire, that the Spirit of the Lord would be upon our ministries, whatever that ministry is for the church, that the Holy Spirit of God would be upon our ministry. You see, Elisha knew that his ministry meant far more than relying on his natural gifts. Elisha may have been a very gifted speaker. He may have been a very gifted man in different ways. But he understood that natural gifts were not enough. He knew that for his ministry to be effective, God must work through him. To be used of the Lord as Elijah, he needed the same spirit that Elijah depended upon. And the spirit working in Elijah is perfectly summarized by the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, when he said, for the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. But how do these fruits manifest themselves in real life? In the way in which it will affect the manner of our life and the manner of our attitude. How do these fruits manifest themselves in our ministry for the Lord? And it is this aspect I would like to focus upon as we conclude our study in the life of Elijah. How did Elijah's undoubted Christ-centered character manifest itself in his ministry? What did it mean for Elisha's ministry? What will it mean for us this morning if we have the same desire as Elisha for a spirit-filled ministry in our own lives? Well, firstly, we know from the New Testament that having the spirit of Elijah means looking forward to Christ, looking unto Jesus. The whole desire of John the Baptist in the New Testament was to prepare the way for Christ. And we are told in Scripture, as we read in the Gospel of Luke chapter 1, that John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah. John will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That was the ministry of John the Baptist, to prepare the people to receive the ministry of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He must increase and I must decrease, looking unto Jesus, looking forward to Christ. That was the one of the great aspects of Elijah's ministry. And to have the spirit of Elijah this morning means to me, means for us that we'll be people who are constantly looking to Christ. Whatever position we're in life, whether we're in the valley, whether we're on the mountaintop, whether we're in trial, whether we're in joy, whether we're in adversity, whether we're in prosperity, whatever the situation is in our life, we will be known as people who are constantly looking to Christ. And we're constantly wanted to point people to Christ. And so to have the spirit of Elijah means to have an evangelistic ministry, an evangelistic heart. It means to be concerned for the lost. It means to pray to God that we will have a turn-in ministry. What do we mean by a turn-in ministry? We mean that to have the spirit of Elijah means our hearts will be to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, to turn people from the way of rebellion and pride and arrogance to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so to have the spirit of Elijah means to be looking unto Jesus. It means to have an evangelistic heart. It means to be praying that we will have a ministry which is a turning ministry, a ministry which transforms people's lives, a ministry that affects people's lives for good in a godly way. But thirdly, to have the spirit of Elijah means our constant focus will be to magnify the name of the Lord. And that was John the Baptist's ministry. He said, he must increase, but I must decrease. And to have the spirit of Elijah this morning, it means to have an understanding of our littleness, of our smallness, and Christ's greatness. John the Baptist came in the power of the spirit of Elijah. And he said, I am not worthy to unfasten the sandals of my Lord and Master, Jesus Christ. And he was mighty in God, Elijah, and yet he was dressed very plainly. He didn't have a silk suit. He didn't walk up and down the platform parading himself, bringing attention to himself. And yet Elijah's ministry was mighty through God, the Holy Spirit. He had this humble, Christ-centered spirit. I'm not even worthy to unfasten the sandals of my Lord and Master, Jesus Christ. And this is the humble, Christ-centered spirit of Elijah that we need today as children of God. Many people misunderstand that having the spirit of Elijah means only having courage to stand for the truth. That is true, that you do have courage to stand for the truth. But having the spirit of Elijah means we will understand that the way we stand for the truth is very vital. So we see John the Baptist, the New Testament Elijah, had Christ-centered courage. He had a Christ-centered humility. And he had a Christ-centered purpose to stand for the truth, but in love. But to have the spirit of Elijah will mean to pray earnestly with expectation and anticipation and faith. James tells us that Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed earnestly. Isn't that interesting? He understood that he had a nature, a fallen nature. And what effect did it have upon him? Did it make him feel hopeless and utterly helpless and just give up and go home because he struggled with his old nature? No. What it meant was to pray earnestly that God would help him to walk by the new nature. Elijah was a man with a nature like Aaron's, but he prayed earnestly, and he prayed earnestly. So friends, don't give up. Don't be so discouraged and overwhelmed with the battle against the old nature. Yes, you will struggle. The flesh is something we will struggle with right until the day we die. What is the answer? Look to Jesus. Pray earnestly. The Lord will bring you through. To have the spirit of Elijah then, fifthly, means to have fervency in prayer. It's not only to pray earnestly, but fervently. This means that we understand the purpose and privilege of prayer. That we don't just go to a prayer meeting. We don't just have our devotions in the morning. It's something to get through. We understand that little by little, as we grow in grace, that actually this is the most important time of the day for us. The Lord's Day is the most important day of the week for us. Prayer meetings are important. And Elijah really believed in the purpose and privilege of prayer. He understood his position before God in prayer. And although Elijah had great answers to prayer, he didn't become proud before God. He didn't go to the people and say, look, I'm your man, look to me, ask whatever you will for me to pray for you, and I'll sort it out before, because I have power with God. He wasn't like that. He wasn't irreverently familiar with God. Actually, the more Elijah experienced the gracious and mighty hand of God in answers to his prayer, the more he felt his unworthiness. Because he understood that boldness at the throne of grace is not because of their merit, but the merit and intercession of Jesus Christ. And Elijah demonstrated how much prayer meant to him as he persevered in prayer. And we read on the Mount of Carmel, when he was up the top of the mount again, praying for rain, he curled himself up into a little ball. He crouched down before God. And it's very symbolic of Elijah's understanding of the majesty of God and the littleness of himself. But this is a man who prevailed in prayer because of the way he prayed. He believed in prayer. He understood his position before God. And he perseveres in prayer. You see, the more we worship God, the more we believe in God, the more we will pray. The secret to perseverance on prayer is a recognition of our littleness and God's majesty. And we recognize our helplessness, but we can go to a God who will hear and answer prayer. And so he tells his servant to keep going to look for the answers. His servant keeps coming back to him and said, oh no, Master Elijah, there is no cloud. It's beautiful blue sky. I can't see any clouds. I can't see any sign of rain. And Elijah keeps praying. He goes through the disappointment and the pain of nothing. The pain of the nothing. And it's so with you, I'm sure, friend. You're praying for something in your life. You're praying for a situation in your life that it might be changed. It might be transformed. And it seems there is nothing. And you look for answers. And there is no sign. And it's so painful. What to do? Well, if you have the spirit of Elijah, you'll keep praying. The nothing is the reason to keep praying. It's not that God is not hearing. It's not that God's not going to answer. It's just that everything must be in God's time. And there are times when prayer hurts. when it seems as if God does not care, or does not even hear you. And Elijah on his knees, crouched before the Lord, hears his servant running back to him and saying the discouraging words, "There is nothing." How do we cope with the nothing? And Satan says to us this morning, "Give up." Human reasoning says, "Give up." But God says in his word, "Watch and pray. Keep praying. I beg of you, keep praying." Fervency in prayer is a sign that we really believe in the Almighty God. But then to have the spirit of Elijah means to intercede in prayer. You're not just praying for yourself, you're praying for other people. When Elijah was dealing with the children of Israel, he said, "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again." You see this turn in ministry. That was his great desire, friends. And maybe this should be our motto as a church. Oh Lord, that we might be people who pray, and our ministry is a turn in ministry. That we turn people by the power of God through the ministry from darkness to light, from death unto life, that the characteristic of the ministry of this church is a turning ministry, a transforming ministry. And this can only come through intercession. This can only come as we go down on our knees and we intercede for people. We pray for people. "Hear me, O Lord. Hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts." We can't turn them, but we can pray to God to turn them. Turn their hearts back to you again. That is the ministry we need. But then to have the spirit of Elijah means to experience and show God-given courage. You see, how did Elijah stand before Ahab? Elijah spoke to Ahab, the wicked king, and made it clear that when he spoke before Ahab, he did so as an ambassador of the Lord. And when Elijah stood before the prophets of Baal, he stood as before the Lord against them. And here is a secret here for us. It's a secret for you and a difficult meeting you might have next week. A difficult experience to go through. Difficult people to deal with. Remember that actually, though you stand before them, though you have to deal with them personally, and it's hard, actually, you are standing before the Lord in that conversation. You are standing before the Lord in that meeting. Actually, you are an ambassador of the Lord. And Elijah said, "Oh look, Ahab, I'm standing before you, but actually, I'm standing before the Lord. I see you physically, Ahab, and you're a mighty king, and you're powerful. You can chop my head off whenever you like. But actually, Ahab, you need to know that I'm standing before the Lord. And he knows, and he sees." And that's how we get our courage. We don't get our courage by looking within and saying, "I can wing this, I can get through this, I can sort this out myself." Our courage comes when we realize that there is an almighty presence. There is God. And he's everywhere. And he can see everything. But he's particularly present with his people, within them, by the power of his Holy Spirit. And so our courage comes with that knowledge that we are strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And that's how we come through. But then to have the spirit of Elijah means to minister with commitment to God's cause. It's not about us. It's not about our image. It's not about what people think of us. We, perhaps as a church, have a number of people thinking and making judgments on this and that, and this is the reason why, and what do you think, and what do you think of this and that. Friends, that is not the issue. The issue is, are we committed to the cause of God? Elijah, most of the time, was willing to be as clay in the hands of his heavenly Father. The Lord sent him, and he went. The Lord told him to speak, and he spoke. The Lord told him to write, and he wrote. He was not a robot, but he was a man who was totally committed to the cause of the Lord. And that is the secret, friends. It's not our cause. It's God's cause, which is so important this morning. But then, to have the spirit of Elijah means to have a real concern for the building up of believers. In the final phase of Elijah's ministry, we read of his ministry with the school of the prophets. He was evidently known and respected by them as their leader who cared for them. They would never forget that Elijah the prophet visited them at Bethel and Jericho before he went to glory. And under the guidance of the Lord, Elijah made a statement of care and concern for the up-and-coming generation. The school of the prophets, Bethel and Jericho, he had a concern for the up-and-coming generation. And friends, this is a wonderful privilege if we're given opportunities to be involved helping and supporting those that are called particularly into the ministry for the future, the building up of the Lord's servants, the building up though of believers to serve the Lord in the ministries of the church. But then to have the spirit of Elijah means to have a real concern and compassion for those enslaved in sin. Now, sadly, oftentimes when we see people, we see a drunkard and we see a drug addict and we see someone shouting and hollering and we see somebody behaving badly in the street and we look on them and we feel very judgmental and ask, oh, what's that person doing? Look at the state that person's in. Look at them. Look at the state they're in. But Elijah had compassion for those enslaved in sin. On Mount Carmel, the approach of Elijah was actually totally different from that of the prophets of Baal, who were actually the ones responsible for leading them into the sin. They didn't have any concern for the spiritual well-being of their followers. They were deceivers of the deceived. But when it was Elijah's turn, the prophets of Baal, they just had a show. They had an exhibition. They sung and they danced and they cut themselves with knives, and it was an incredible spectacle to watch. But they weren't interested in the people. They were only interested in the fire. But the first thing Elijah says is, when it comes to his turn, the first thing he says to the people is, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And it shows us this morning that Elijah had a compassion for those enslaved in sin. And he tells the people, just come to me. Elijah was bold as a lion for the truth. Yet he had a tender heart for the people. And before he does anything, he invites those rebellious, hard-hearted children of Israel to come near. And so it is with the message of salvation in Jesus Christ. We are invited this morning to come just as you are, with our sin, with our unbelief, with our hardness, with our backsliding, with our confusion, with our questions, with our uncertainty, with our weaknesses, with our failures. The only answer this morning is to come to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you are invited through the scripture of God, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. You are invited to come near and prove who is the true God of holiness and grace and mercy in the very person of Jesus Christ the Lord. And so to have the spirit of Elijah means to have a spirit of compassion for those enslaved in sin, to have a gospel heart. But to have the spirit of Elijah also means to have a real concern for our cross-bearing submission. You see, when we ask for the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, do we really know what we're asking for? Now, Elisha, like his master Elijah, would suffer for the sake of the truth. He would know persecution. And so when we ask for the Spirit of the Lord, of Elijah to rest upon us, that is, the Spirit of God working in Elijah to rest upon us, do we understand that actually what that means is to take up our cross and to follow Jesus. And that means persecution. It means that we will be mocked. It means that we will be laughed at. It means that we will be despised. It means we'll be rejected. It means that people won't understand us. It means that people perhaps will say all manner of things falsely against us. But it means that we're following the Lord Jesus Christ. We understand and we ask for the work of the Spirit within us. It's not just to make us feel better within. That is a wonderful blessing. But it's much more than that. It means that we are willing to take up our cross and to follow Jesus. And to know the deepening work of the Holy Spirit means entering into deeper fellowship with Christ. But in entering into deeper fellowship with Christ, it means that we enter into the fellowship of Christ's sufferings. The opposition of Satan becomes greater. The persecution grows as we take up our cross and follow him. And when you are opposed for Christ's sake, when you make a stand for Christ's sake, we suffer. But always remember that the person is not so much attacking you, but they're attacking the God that you represent. So when Paul was converted, the Lord said to him, "Why are you persecuting me?" But then to have the spirit of Elijah means to have Calvary-based conversation. Calvary-based conversation. And we read on the Mount of Transfiguration, "Behold, the two men talked with him. They were Moses and Elijah. They were talking with Jesus, and they spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem." This Calvary-based thinking of Moses and Elijah was central to their conversation with the Lord Jesus. They had a Calvary-based conversation. And to have the spirit of Elijah means that we are, above all, taken up with Calvary. As Paul said, "God forbid that we should glory except in the cross of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." See, Calvary-based thinking finds great encouragement in what it accomplishes, what Calvary accomplishes, because Calvary takes unworthy, hell-deserving sinners and makes them right with God through the person and work of Jesus Christ on the cross at Calvary. And so to have the spirit of Elijah means to be motivated by the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes in the Lord Jesus. But then to have the spirit of Elijah means to have a great respect for the name of the Lord. This was Elijah's testimony. "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts. It grieves me, Lord. They've forsaken your covenant. They've torn down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword. And I alone am left and they seek to take my life." And Elijah had great respect for God and his wonderful character. And this is an absolute essential for us for spiritual growth, for spiritual stability, for spiritual strength, for spiritual fruitfulness. We must have the greatest respect and reverence for God. And this will then show in our witness and walk and worship. But then to have the spirit of Elijah means to have heaven-based aspirations. In Hebrews 11 we read, "And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong. They were valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again." This is again the ministry of Elijah. "Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection." They understood, even in the Old Testament, before the Lord Jesus came, that there was going to come a time when there will be a better resurrection. They themselves, their souls would be taken to glory. But even more than that, ultimately they would be in the new heavens and the new earth with glorified bodies. Friends, take encouragement then this morning as we come to conclusion from the way in which the Lord took Elijah, a man subject to like passions as we are. He mightily used him, he preserved him, he renewed him when despondent, he enabled him to continue. And may the Lord so work in our lives, so we ourselves bear some marks of the spirit of Elijah. But for Elijah to be granted the double portion, he must needs see Elijah departed into heaven. And this reminds us this morning that if we are to be filled with the Spirit of God, we must see Jesus by faith. We have to look to Jesus. We must see that every spiritual blessing which we receive comes to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Apostle Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Amen.